broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a good morning to you. You're in the clubhouse. Welcome. It's a gorgeous March 23rd. It's almost April. It's almost Masters. But in the meantime, we're enjoying Arnold Palmer Invitational and the Kia Classic on the LPGA Tour. Joining us this morning, hopefully in a few minutes, Ron Syrak, Golf World Executive Editor. He's at the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard. He had the pleasure of meeting Kate Upton yesterday. Nice conversation. She was there to expand her line and find out about marketing, how Arnold Palmer does it. He's an amazing man. Elizabeth Noblett, She Putter, Golf Fashion for Women. Women who know that how they show up matters. But first, let's thank the people who make this show possible, our sponsors.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Maybank Malaysian Open. Karadish Afrimbarat is in the lead by one stroke over Charles Schwartzel and Anders Hansen. Patrick Harrington is tied for third with Eduardo Molinari, Peter Laurie, and Luke Donald missed the cut. Very interesting. On the PGA Tour, we've got Bill Haas at the top of the leaderboard with Justin Rose, both at 9 under par. John Ha, Ken Duke, J.J. Henry, Jimmy Walker, Thorndrup Olsen, Ricky Fowler, Mark Wilson, where'd he go? Vijay Singh, Tiger Woods, okay. There's your leaderboards, okay? And on the Kia Classic, I hate to have to say it again, folks, but indeed, Michelle Wee missed the cut. This is the second time in the U.S., swing, we could call it, since coming from Asia. I don't think she's made the cut this year. Shot 274s, has problem with the putter. Interesting stroke, picking it up kind of off the ground like you would the driver. Nothing seems to be working for Michelle Wee. Let's bring Ron Syrak, Golf World Executive Editor. He is at the Arnold Palmer Invitational presented by MasterCard. It's being played right now at the home of Golf Channel. Arnold Palmer started Golf Channel. Ron Syrak, welcome to the show.
Great. Thanks for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. A pleasure. You have had, a really good time, I think. You must have increased your followers by 1,000 or more after meeting with Kate Upton and having your picture taken with her, and it was retweeted all over the Twitterverse.
It's been a good week of first hanging out with Arnold and getting to spend some time with him, and then with Kate Upton, who, you know, her agent is a IMG agent. Arnold is an IMG client. Her agent played college golf at Penn State, so I had a golf connection. And Kate's parents, she grew up in Melbourne, Florida. They were big Arnold Palmer fans. And so, she sort of said she wants to be known as more than just a model, and she wants to figure out ways to develop her own brand and become a marketing force out there. And there's no person better to talk to about that than Arnold Palmer, who is the age of 83, is still in the top 5 in the Golf Digest top 50 money list that I do for the on and off course earners in professional golf.
That's the top 5 you just said,
yep.
Right? With Jack Nicklaus. It's amazing.
In fact, I think he's number 3 behind Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Arnold still makes about $35 million a year, and hasn't won a golf tournament. He hasn't won a PGA Tour event in Tiger's lifetime. Look at it that way.
I really enjoyed what Kate Upton, her reaction, seeing the umbrella, the Arnold Palmer logo, the umbrella. I want that on a soap. I want an umbrella on the soap that she brings out. A lot of money. Very beautiful young woman, 20 years old. and she's got a great future. And marketing, of course, all the different products from perfume to toiletries to clothing lines. And is she going to take up the game?
Well, she said maybe she will, you know. The thing that really struck me about her is she's very intelligent and very funny, and clearly seems to have her head screwed on straight that way. I think she has an idea that she wants to use the platform she has for some good work. You know, one of the things that she did while she was here was go to the Arnold Palmer Hospital and the Winnie Palmer Hospital for Women and Children, and to look at the charitable work that that Arnold's doing through those organizations. And I think that she sees that that's another way in which you can extend your platform, is to get involved in doing good work. Use your celebrity status in a way that benefits people.
It was very cute seeing the kiss, Arnold Palmer, Kate Upton kiss. He was taken by her as well, wasn't he? He had a good time with her. It's great.
Absolutely. Arnold had a ball.
Yeah, and you can read all about it at golfdigest.com. Let's go to the leaderboard. Interesting to see Bill Haas. Now, Tiger Woods seemed to have his head screwed on right last week. I mean, it wowed us all. And then he had a good round the first time, kind of dueling with Justin Rose. But Justin Rose was at the top, and he was, what, four strokes back? And then I guess he remains about four strokes back. Now, what happened yesterday?
Yeah, Tiger started yesterday four back. Justin opened with a 65, Tiger with a 69. They've been playing together the first two rounds. And Tiger got within one stroke of Justin, and then he finished bogey, bogey, bogey. And, it's interesting because that's been sort of one of the problems Tiger's had in this three-year post-scandal period where he's trying to get back to what he once was. But he's had this odd struggle closing out rounds of golf and not getting it done. And if you look at the two tournaments that he won this year, at Torrey Pines, he played the last five holes four over. And at Doral, he played, he bogeyed two of the last three holes there. And he just came in and hit three loose shots, losing them right on 16, 17. He hit it in the water on 16 and then missed the green, right on 17, missed the fairway right on 18, and finished bogey, bogey, bogey. It's not what we're used to seeing for Tiger at the end of the day.
No, the consummate closer in the past just seems to not have that at the end. Now, conditions changed on the course, right? Did it get wet? What happened?
Yeah, we had some significant rain yesterday, and the course is probably it's going to play softer than they would like it to play, at least today. And we have some thunder showers in the forecast for today. I expect to see that this is going to be, you're going to need a lot more birdies out there. You're going to have to keep going low. The leaders at nine under par, you know, the conventional thinking in a PGA Tour event is after the cut, take whatever the leader is at and take half that, and that's what the winning score will be. So that would mean we're looking at 13, 14 under to win here. But if the conditions are like this, I think that they're going to have to go to 16, 17 under to win.
Okay. All right, so it's great to see Bill Haas back up at the top. Justin Rose has been putting him beautifully. He's really got that stroke down. But the elephant in the room is Vijay Singh. Even in Europe, BBC or their Sky Sport, rather, was talking about, what if Vijay Singh wins? What if Vijay Singh wins? Nothing's been said about the deer antler spray. No conclusion. Why? What's your take on this?
Well, here's what I think's going on. Under the drug testing policy that was instituted in July of 2008 for the tour, if a penalty is handed out, the player is given 7 days to file an appeal. The tour then has to set a hearing and act on that appeal within 45 days. This is my guess. I think a penalty's been handed out, and I think the tour is following procedure, and that we're at the latter stages of an appeal process here. That's my guess as to what's going on.
You know, I understand that the tour is very closed-mouthed about all of these things that have to do with penalties and taking action against a player. But with the game of golf being in the Olympics now, isn't it time for it to be a more open-door policy?
Well, they have said, again, to quote from the drug testing manual, which I've read through, the tour cannot publicly talk about it until the entire process is complete. So they can't make any comment until the appeal has been now. Once an appeal is exhausted, and if the player's penalties are upheld, the tour is obligated to tell us the name of the player, the name of the banned substance that he used, and the nature of the penalty. So if a penalty is, in fact, handed down for a performance-enhancing drug, they have to make us, they have to let us know those three things. They have the discretion, if you fail a drug test for a recreational drug, to keep that information confidential and not tell.
Okay, but we expect to hear something from them, possibly, after.
Well, what would be interesting, according to my math, the clock on this whole thing runs out probably the end of this month, you know, but the commissioner, at his discretion, can extend the process, and you got to wonder whether he would extend the process until after the Masters, mm-hmm. where Vijay is a past champion, you know, and then maybe impose some kind of penalty then.
You wouldn't want a brouhaha going into the Masters. It just would
No. And this is an odd situation because essentially this is not a player who failed a drug test. This is a player who admitted that he used the banned substance.
Exactly. That's the whole thing. He said I did it. And now we're pretending like or not talking about it. It just doesn't feel right. It feels like, well, if we just don't talk about it, maybe it'll go away.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are under the misconception that the tour is doing nothing about this. I think, in fact, what they are doing is following the process that's spelled out in their drug testing manual, and that's just entirely my guess, is that we are in the latter stages, nearing the end of the appeal process, and we will know something one way or the other by the end of this month.
Great. All right. I'd like to take a break and talk a little bit about some of the things that came up in the news conference with Arnold Palmer. The golf ball, and you've talked about this on a couple of occasions on this show, about reining in the length of the ball and the anchored putter. And he's passionate about the growth of the game internationally. Can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
Thank you. We'll be back right after this. We're talking with Ron Cyrak, Golf World Executive Editor. You can read him at golfdigest.com. My name is Danielle Tucker.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
The long-awaited flagship sedan, the 2014 RLX, has arrived. Our new full-size luxury car is the largest, most luxurious, and technologically advanced Acura ever produced, featuring a bounty of amazing new technologies and delivering impressive fuel economy. The RLX is instantly at the head of its class, and they're here in the showroom, available today for you to see, drive, and take home. The RLX will catch your eye as you approach the showroom with a distinctive pair of jewel eye LED headlights, sparkling like diamonds, as effective as they are beautiful. Acura's keen edge design is sure to impress from the exterior, with the crisp flowing lines creating dynamically elegant and unique shape. The keyless access system with smart entry and push-button start put you behind the wheel and into a luxurious cabin with amenities that are all you would expect and more from a first-class luxury sedan. You will experience a level of ride comfort like never before, and the all-new precision all-wheel steering system gives you the performance handling that's become an Acura trademark, matched with the fuel-efficient yet very powerful 3.5i 310 horsepower V6 engine that boasts 31 mile per gallon highway fuel economy, the RLX has all the markings of a legendary car, echoing the great Acuras of the past. Be one of the first to experience the RLX. Enjoy the finest Acura sedan the world has ever seen. Stop by Acura of Honolulu today. See why the 2014 RLX is the talk of the town. Test drive it overnight. More than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense.
Yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
We're joined by Ron Syrak, Golf World Executive Editor, and you can read his work and see the pictures we've been talking about at golfdigest.com. On the new equipment and the golf ball, I just loved, Ron Syrak, what Arnold Palmer said. He said, I'm probably still playing golf because of the modern equipment that's coming out on the market, whether it be graphite or titanium or a hard golf ball, whatever it is, I think the game has advanced. It'll continue to advance. But I'd like to see them slow the ball down. That seems to be coming up with a lot of people. And is that an issue that the USGA is looking at?
I think so. In fact, my take on the whole anchored putter ban is that it was just sort of a trial balloon to see what kind of reaction they would get out there and whether or not there would be what the nature of the opposition would be to them if they tried to do something with the golf ball. Now, part of the reaction has been Ted Bishop, the new president of the PGA of America, has come out against the anchored putter ban. And when I asked him about it, I said, you know, why do you care? Because there really aren't that many amateur golfers, recreational golfers, who use the long anchored putter because it's a hard technique to learn. He says the message we're sending is we will oppose any rule changes that make the game of golf harder, which makes me think if the USGA rolls back the golf ball, PGA of America will come out for bifurcation. Say, okay, roll back the ball for the pros, but let the amateur golfer play the hotter.
No, it's just going to be very interesting to see what happens, because when is the USGA going to say that the anchored stroke ban has gone into effect?
Well, they will be saying sometime soon. I would think around the time of the Masters, they will say that the comment period is over. We've considered all the comments. And we've decided that we're going to go ahead with the ban on the anchored putter. And then that ban doesn't go into effect until January of 2016.
Okay, but they're going to have to say sooner than later that they've actually decided that they're going to go with the anchored putter ban.
It'll be sometime this spring.
Sure. Okay, sometime this spring. Speaking of the Masters, there is a 14-year-old boy, Kwon Tian Lang, who at the tender age of 13, became the youngest player to participate in a European Tour event, and he'll be playing in the Masters.
And he'll be using the anchored putter. he anchors a long putter. Yeah, so.
Yes.
He better win the Masters in either 14 or 15, because by 16 he can't do it.
He can't do it. He's got to do it now. But, you know, now this May, a Chinese boy, 12 years old, became the youngest to qualify for a European Tour event. 12 years old.
Let me tell you something, Danielle, with golf and the Olympics and there's people looking to China and saying China is going to produce a billion new golfers and this is going to be the savior of the golf industry. And I don't think that's true. I don't think they're going to produce a billion new golfers there. I don't think it'll become a mass sport. But what we're going to see China do is produce world-class golfers the way they have in tennis with Li Na. It's going to be a government-funded program that will identify the best and the brightest. And China's already hired Greg Norman to come in and consult with them on developing golfers for the 2016 Olympics. But you're going to see more and more and more China focusing on developing the kind of talent that could go to Rio de Janeiro in 2016 and bring back an Olympic gold medal.
I think it's interesting what Arnold Palmer said. He said, I think international golf is going to become a bigger factor as time goes on than it is now. And I think that we as a nation and the United States are going to have to take a look at the international aspects of golf. And what I immediately thought of is, you know, the LPGA Tour. is international. We've had a woman from China win. We have winners from Taiwan, of course, Yanni Sen. She was number one forever. We had Annika Sorenstam. We've had Lorena Ochoa, an international tour. Did we as U.S. fans care as much about the LPGA then as we do now that Stacey Lewis, you watched her become number one last week?
I think it's, there are 27 nations represented on the LPGA right now. And I think it becomes a question about the individual person and how well you can get their story across. American fans embraced Annika Sorenstam when she was number one. They embraced Lorena Ochoa when she was number one. Yanni was a little bit harder because, at least in the early stages, her English wasn't as good as Annika's or Lorena's. And that becomes part of our job. It's part of the media's job is to explain to the public who Na Yan Choi is and how good she is, who Jia Xin is and how good she is, and what her backstory is. And Jia has an amazing backstory, losing her mother when she was 15 years old. And that does become an obligation for the media to get out there and tell the story to the fans about who these people are. But I think that the fans, when they connect with a person, when they know enough about a person, will embrace them. I think Sherry Pack was embraced when she was winning 25 tournaments because we had multiple opportunities to remind people who she is and how good she is.
So do you think the PGA Tour, let's say 10, 20 years from now, will look more like, have the face like the LPGA Tour?
Oh, absolutely. I think the LPGA Tour is ahead of the PGA Tour in several ways and for several reasons. One is the age thing, and that has to do with the fact that females tend to mature earlier and reach physical peak earlier than males do, and it's 16, 17, and 18 can play at a very high level, whereas a 16, 17, 18-year-old boy is much different than a 21, 22, 23-year-old man. And then in the internationalism of it, the LPGA has been forced to become a global tour for economic reasons. Their largest single revenue stream right now is Korean TV money. They make a lot of money selling Ai Miyazato highlights to Japanese TV. They make a lot of money selling Yanni Sen highlights to Taiwanese TV. Those are huge revenue streams for the LPGA. PGA Tour hasn't needed that so much. They have so much American TV money. But I do think that the game's going to become more and more global. I do think you're going to have to see the PGA Tour and the European Tour cooperate more the way we're seeing right now. I mean, we had tournaments early in the year that were co-sanctioned by the Ladies European Tour, the Japan Ladies, and LPGA, and the LPGA, and the Australian LPGA. And there's going to need to be more coordination like that on the men's side.
I do agree with you, yes. You know, on the Masters, we're going to close right now, but, I've been, worried about the length of my skirt, where it comes on my knee because I'm going to Augusta. You're worried about what you look like. And do you ever worry about the length of your hair?
Yes, I think it was 1996, early in the year, I had a ponytail, and Donna Orender, who was working for the PGA Tour then, loved it, and she was saying, and we had a bet about whether I would keep it the entire year, and the week before the Masters, I panicked and cut it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Masters, and, that's why I have Elizabeth Noblet coming on next to help me with, the length of my skirt. Thank you so much for being on the show. Ron Syrak, Golf World Executive Editor. You can read him at golfdigest.com. And, of course, you should get Golf World because it's great. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle. See you in Augusta.
Excellent. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay.
Before I joined the first tee, the only sport I ever did was surfing channels.
I used to get C's and D's. Now I'm planning for a BA in history.
I've learned a lot at the first tee. I even learned how to play golf.
Put a golf club in a young person's hands and watch them grow. At the first tee, we instill values like confidence, judgment, respect, and integrity. Values they learn from golf, but take with them for the rest of their lives.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Let's see. 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
It's going to be a cloudy day today, but you can't forget the sunscreen. We've got some hazy skies over parts of Maui, isolated showers over Kauai, but it's a great day to play a round of golf. Go play at Poipu, 1220, 140. Shotgun for the Western Independent Bankers. May you all hit the sweet spot every time. And there's also Twilight open at Poipu Bay Golf Course. All right, joining us now is Elizabeth Noblett, founder of Shishi Putter. That's like chic. Okay? A website designed for the woman who wants to be able to dress for the office and the golf course without looking like she's wearing golf clothes. Don't you just hate it when somebody says, that's a golf shirt? Well, when I go to the office, I don't want to have people know that I'm wearing a golf shirt. It can, it's become, you know, more than just a place to see what's available. And that's what I really like. Let's bring in Elizabeth Noblett. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You can shop now, right, at Shishi Putter. So I can go and see all of the great clothes, and then if I see something that really catches my eye, because, you know, I'm one of those called, those shoppers who just, you know, they see something, they don't really need it. I'm going to get that right now. That's what's great about the site. I can be an impulse buyer, Elizabeth. And that's shishiputter.com, golf fashion for women who know that how they show up matters. When did you decide to make it available, a shopping site?
Last year. I kept having my readers ask me, can I buy the clothes on your site? And I kept telling them no. And then I thought, well, why do I keep telling them no? So we opened up the shop late last fall.
Excellent. It's Shishi Putter, S-H-I-S-H-I Putter.com, a website designed for the woman who wants to be able to dress for the office and the golf course. And Elizabeth Noblett, she has impeccable taste. She also knows that when a woman shows up for an event, let's say it's going to the Masters, let's say it's going to a dinner at the Masters and meetings at the Masters and then walking the course at the Masters, what do you wear? I mean, yikes. You know, this isn't going to the golf course in a pair of loudmouth skort and top like the U.S. Open. You know how you watch television, you see all the crowds at the Open, at the U.S. Open, at the PGA Championship. You rarely see the spectators. What are they called? The patrons at the Masters, at Augusta. So I thought, I've got to talk with Elizabeth. Elizabeth now has an opportunity for you, a one-hour style strategy. You can call in on Skype with Elizabeth, and she'll help you look your best at any event, not just a golf event, and it's only $99. Elizabeth, tell us what a woman needs to know when she's planning for a special event, like, let's say, going to the Masters.
Well, I think that there are two things that really need to be in balance. I think that you need to have an understanding of the event and the spirit and the mood of the event, as well as, you know, especially with Augusta, I think you need to have an idea of what the dress code is and what the ambiance is. But on the flip side, I think that you need to really make sure that you dress in clothes that fit your body and flatter your figure and make you feel and look your best. And I think that those two things need to be in balance. And when they're not in balance is when you're not going to have the most impact and the most influence and the most sparkle that you could have at any event. So it's how do you find the balance between the two?
Yeah, and let's take it down to something that everybody can relate to, men and women. When you watch something like the Oscars,
mm-hmm.
right? And everybody's going, God, why did she choose that dress?
Right, exactly.
You know, that would have been.
The dress might be really cool and might be really look great on her, but someone will typically say that dress would look great at the SAGs or at the Golden Globes, but it's not right for the Oscars.
So that'd be sort of like that. That's an outfit that you could wear at the U.S. Open, but at the Masters, my goodness.
Right. So I think at the Masters, I think that with the conservative nature of Augusta, I think that you really need to take that into consideration. And probably wear, you know, a little bit longer of a skirt or short, and probably, you know, be a little bit more conservative in your top.
Yeah. Now this goes for everything. You know, we're not just talking golf tournaments here. You know, whenever you're going to an event, you need to think about the ambiance, mm-hmm. and then by the same token, what you choose. You need to show up in that outfit. You said that to me very well. You need to show up. What do you mean by that?
Well, let me share a story with you. So I was at a women's golf business event last fall, and on Friday, which was the business event, one of the women I met was super beautiful, red lipstick, red blouse, cute pants, high heels, sassy, confident. Beautiful. The next day on Saturday, I ran into her in the pro shop, and she was wearing, basically it looked like her husband's polo and some khaki shorts, and she couldn't even look me in the eye.
Oops.
She was not in that outfit at all. She was dressed for the event, but she wasn't in there at all. There was no creativity, no staff, nothing of interest in that outfit.
And she knew it.
And she knew it. She couldn't even look me in the eye. So for her to have been effective that day, her outfit needed to be much more indicative of who she was and still probably have a collar for her to work, you know, to fit in on the golf course. But she took it to the other extreme, and, you know, she probably didn't make any sales on Saturday.
Yeah, that's critical. I mean, what people don't realize is, you know, you dress for success. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such an old statement, isn't it? The other thing is when you get dressed, you know, the old French is once you get dressed, women, take one thing off. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, your bra. I mean, like, let's say you've accessorized. You've got a necklace on, you've got a bracelet on, you've got earrings on. Maybe you've got two or three necklaces on. Take one of them off.
Right.
Right?
Right.
What's the rule of thumb on accessories?
Well, if you go with that classic sort of idea of, you know, a Jackie Onassis or an Audrey Hepburn, the rule was sort of around three. So between an earring, a scarf or a necklace, and a ring was the limit.
Okay.
So depending on if you're going to a more conservative event, that's probably true. If you're going to a more sort of creative event, say it was a fashion magazine event, more probably would work. You could probably get away with five.
Okay, but we see these celebrities. They're walking around with, you know, things all the way up the arm. They've got gazillion things around the neck. They've got big hoop earrings. They've got this hat with a feather coming up and hair. Why? Why can they do that?
Well, because I don't think they have someone telling them that they shouldn't.
They've got stylists all over the place.
I know. Well, I think that, and you can tell, especially when you're watching a red carpet show, you can tell who has a stylist and who doesn't. Because the person who has a stylist is balanced. You know, the length of the earrings helps balance the neck. Whether or not they're wearing a scarf helps balance the neck. If, you know, the colors that they're wearing help balance either their bust or their hips. You know, it all works together to create one cohesive, congruent, harmonious look. And when you look at them and you're like, something's off, that's usually because that's not what they're focused on. They just keep going and going because they think that more is better.
I got it. Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes. And it's also, you know, showing off what you got. You know, or maybe you've got so many different sponsors, you've got to wear one of everybody.
Right.
That's a shame. We're talking with Elizabeth Noblett. She does a one-hour style strategy. And we're not just talking golf here, right? Tell us what you do.
So what I work with women on in this call is understanding sort of who they are and really getting clear about how they want to present themselves, what flatters their figure, what really shows off their personality as well as their values, and then how do we sort of balance that with whatever event they're going to, whether it's the Masters or a special event for work or a special event for their husband's work, whatever that is.
And that's important because a lot of times a woman will be invited to go with her husband. He kind of knows what everybody's wearing because we've probably been there, you know, and guys don't have, well, we're going to talk about men too, but women need to know, you know, you need to, if you're a guy and you're taking your significant other, your wife, your girlfriend to an event, you need to let her know.
Yes.
What do people generally wear to these things? What do women show up in, you know?
Right. And what the dress code is, because typically they'll tell you.
Yeah, they'll tell the guy jacket and tie on the invitation.
Mm-hmm.
What does jacket and tie mean for a woman?
Well, the first indicator is really what time is the event. After the dress code, the next indicator is what time is the event. So if an event is earlier, it's going to be a little bit more, say if it's at 5 o'clock, you could probably dress up, you know, a cute afternoon outfit and have it work. If it's at 8 o'clock in the evening, we're looking at a more formal event.
Okay. All right. And jacket and tie for a woman is more like a, not a cocktail dress. That sounds too sexy. Doesn't it? It doesn't cock.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not a cocktail dress, but if it's a business event, maybe you're wearing a really pretty just dress that's, you know, a little more, you know, subdued, maybe, and then you have an accessory that's really more playful and fun.
Yeah.
And it's always a great accessory to sort of dress up an outfit.
What is a cute accessory? I'm sorry.
Shoes.
Yeah. Shoes, girls. Shoes.
Yeah. So, or, you know, you could wear a really pretty business suit and then dress it up. You know, something that's a little bit edgier and a little more dressy would also work.
This is a one-hour style strategy with Elizabeth Noblett to help you look your best at any event, okay? $99, it's so worth it because, you know, she's going to take into consideration your figure, flattering your figure, what looks best on you. I love this. I think this is something that every woman should do for her career and just to feel confident and comfortable in any situation that she might find herself in. Excellent. And we can get more information, info@shishiputter.com, shishiputter.com. Shishi means chic, in case, you know, you don't know that. Okay. To see dressier women's golf fashion, go to shishiputter.com and you can shop there. Okay. This is great. You'll be surprised at what you can wear on the course and to the office, and it won't look like you're wearing your golf clothes, because that's way too casual to be in the office. Elizabeth, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Good. I know. Oh, by the way, for a guy, what does jacket and tie mean?
So again, depending on the time of the event, I would wear probably a blue or a black blazer with and usually they'll tell you if a tie is required.
Yeah, it says jacket and tie. Then you coordinate your darker color jacket with a nice shirt and a tie that you like.
Yes, and so probably, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a suit, but probably a dark gray or a black pant,
mm-hmm,
or a navy pant, mm-hmm, probably a darker pant.
A darker pant.
Mm-hmm. But if you wanted to really step it up, you could just wear a full suit. You know, a really nice suit and tie.
Oh, there's nothing like a guy in a double-breasted suit.
Suits are always, always.
Just in case you guys want to know how to really, you know, John Leonard used to wear them all the time. Okay, Elizabeth Noblet, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be back right after this. We're talking with, yes, the woman, one of the 13 founders of the LPGA Tour, Marilyn Smith. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
The 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Go test drive this car at Acura Honolulu, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. I have driven the best cars in the world. I want a tight turning radius. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. I want a responsive engine. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. And a smooth, quiet ride down Ala Moana Boulevard. You'll get that. It's so good on the nerves on Honolulu's streets. But don't take my word. Test drive the 2014 Acura RLX. Call for an overnight test drive. You heard right. Call General Sales Manager TJ Jones for your appointment to visit Acura of Honolulu. Your time's valuable. Book it. Call 942-4555. Meet with TJ and the RLX expert. There is so much to Acura's RLX, where luxury meets high tech. Acura's flagship sedan. Take it home. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your life. You heard right. Acura of Honolulu will wash and vacuum your current car while you're experiencing the Acura RLX. And when you bring it back, find out when you can take your Acura RLX or RLX Advance home. The number is 808-942-4555. His name is TJ. The car is the Acura RLX. It's an amazing car, and I'm not easily amazed.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Oh, yeah. We're doing the Hawaiian Airlines flyaway to San Francisco, where you will stay for four nights in the Palace Hotel San Francisco, a luxury collection hotel, if you win. But first, you have to be the ninth caller to qualify to win. And if you'd like to play a round of golf today, Volcano 1012, Kapolei 1140, Royal Hawaiian Country Club 1150, Makena 936, 1040, 1128. Makalei sold out. The St. Patrick's Day scramble is today. Huh? It got rained out last week. We're talking with Marilyn Smith, one of my favorite people, LPGA co-founder, World Golf Hall of Fame member. Have Clubs Will Travel is the name of her book. Welcome to the show, Marilyn.
Danielle, how's my favorite golf radio talk show host doing?
I'm having a wonderful time. It's a beautiful, beautiful morning. Taking the kids out to the swap meet, and then we're going to the beach, and then we're going to the movies. And then
wow,
I'm gonna...
what fun.
I know.
You know what? That Acura sounds like a great car.
Oh, it is. And if
wow.
you, yeah, I know. And if you'd like people to have somebody drive for you, you know, drive you wherever you need to go, the back is so spacious. Yeah, it's so easy to get into and out of. I sat in the back and went, huh, well, this is where I want, this is where, where's my driver?
Oh, good for you. How's Vic doing?
He's doing really good. Thank
Great.
You for asking. So yeah. Marilyn Smith, you just, they just celebrated you and the founders of the LPGA Tour last week on the LPGA Tour, the Founders Cup, the R.R. Donnelly LPGA Founders Cup, huge success. Were you working every day?
Well, we had a great time. You know, it was Shirley Spork and Louise Suggs and I as founders. And then the so-called pioneers were Joanne Carner and Carol Mann.
Wow.
And Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 12. We sat at a table and signed autographs and met the people. And I did get the gallery some on Sunday. And, boy, those gals are playing fantastic golf.
They really Arnold Palmer was talking about the equipment, you know, and how that it's the only because of the way the equipment has come that he can still play this game. How do you think you would play the game if you were using what they're using today?
Oh, I'd probably be still snap hooking it to the left or something. Well, you know, the golf ball has changed too. It goes farther.
Yes, it does. He would like, Arnold Palmer said he'd like them to curb that. He'd like to rein it in just a little bit, you know.
Well, you know what? I'd like to say what a great job Michael Wong is doing as our commissioner of the LPGA. He's trying to get, you know, some more tournaments here in this country. But almost half of them, you know, are overseas. But that seems to be where the money is.
Yes, it is. But he's doing a great job because he's added tournaments. He's got some others that baking in the back, you know, that
That's
he's
right.
still working on. And then what do you think of the International Crown? That's a whole new event in the States that'll pit different countries against the top countries that are playing with the top players representing the top countries. It's complicated, but it's
fun. I've never heard of that one, so you're telling me something I don't know about.
Yeah, this is brand new because, you know, the Solheim Cup, it's just the U.S. versus Europe. And
so
many of our great players on the LPGA Tour get kind of left out.
That's right.
Yeah. So now these the top players representing, I think it's four from a country, and then those eight teams from different countries are going to play kind of like a Ryder Cup event.
Good.
Yes. It's really exciting. Really
where's
exciting.
You know where it's going to be?
You're right now. I don't have that information in front of me.
Sorry. Well, I thought you knew everything.
I know. No, I can't remember the location, but it's on the East Coast, sort of. Okay, it's
sort of.
Okay. Yes,
not in Arizona where I am.
No, it's a little bit further east than Arizona, and it's just not coming to me. But I'm going to Google it.
You better do that. I'm a computer dummy, so you do it.
I'll have to Google it. But we want to give away one of your books to the person. Have Clubs Will Travel. This is a great book. Marilyn Smith, for years, wanted to sit down and do her biography. And Bob Kane sat with her and came up with this really great book. Now, this is what Jack Nicklaus said. We talk often of the people in different sports or games who laid the foundation for all those who followed them, and perhaps too often credit is quickly and easily given. In Marilyn's case, Marilyn Smith's case, I don't think we can give enough credit. She is why the LPGA exists. Marilyn was literally hands-on. Public relations, spreading the word of the LPGA every time she put her hand on a club and using every opportunity to talk about the virtues of women's professional golf. This is a great book. Mike Wan talks about it, Mickey Wright, Judy Bell, Jaime Diaz of Golf World. All of these people have talked about how great this book is. And if you are the ninth caller, you're going to get it. We're going to send it to you. And just,
I'll personalize it to the person, too.
Oh, you're going to autograph it? And
yep, and I'll mail it from here. Uh-huh.
Oh,
yeah.
Excellent. Marilyn Smith, thank you so much for doing that.
Now, well, you know what? I had to do that book before I lost my memory. You never know when you're going to lose your memory. And I'll be 84 in April, so I thought I'd better do it. And Bob Kane helped me do it. And he has a great sense of humor, so there's a lot of humor in the book.
Yeah, that's that comes through in just talking with you. You know, you have such a fun way about you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I paid you $5.
Yes, you said that, yes. And the check is in the mail.
Yeah, right. But you know what? We have our tournament again this year, the Marilyn Smith LPGA Charity Golf Classic, which makes money for my golf scholarship fund. And last year, we made over $55,000, and we gave 10 $5,000 scholarships to help young women attend college.
That's you see, Marilyn is going to be 84 in April, and then in September, she's going to be together this fabulous scholarship fundraising tournament that she does every year. Is it in late September, early October?
No, it's going to be October 7th this year, and it costs $200 to play in it, and we'd love some of the people from Hawaii to come over and play in it.
Oh, that would be fabulous. If
yeah.
Yes. And how do we get in touch with you? MarilynSmith.com?
Well, gosh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a computer dummy, but we're going to have a website, but we don't have it quite set up yet.
Okay.
It's going to be through the LPGA.
Okay.
And they can sign up through that, or they can call me if you want to give them my number.
Well, you know, the MarilynSmith.com site is really, really good. And it has your picture. It's got your book on it. Maryland's,
oh, okay.
Yes, it's really, and the scholarships recognition about Marilyn, Marilyn, MarilynNN.
Yeah, my daddy's name was Lynn, and you know, Danielle, my whole career, they chopped off that second N.
Yes, that's why I made sure that we put NN in there. MarilynSmith.com, that's her website, and the book is Have Clubs Will Travel. Now, you asked me to Google, and I have Googled. Okay. 2 years before golf returns to the Olympics, the LPGA Tour is creating a tournament to determine the best in the world. It's called the International Crown. The inaugural event will be held late July of this year, Caves Valley Golf Club outside Baltimore.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. That's exciting. It really is. That's a major breakthrough there. That's wonderful.
Excellent. And our qualifier, our winner of the book, is Elvian Pagaravan. Thank you so much. I just got the thumbs up from...
You'll have to tell me how to spell it. Is it a woman?
It is a woman. It
Evelyn?
Is a woman. Yeah. Elvian. Elvian? Yes. So we'll give you the spelling. I'll make sure that you get the spelling. We'll call for her address, and she lives in IAEA. And congratulations. You are really going to like this book, Have Clubs, Will Travel. The history of the way the women on the LPGA Tour, you know, we always think of them as being jet setters and traveling here and traveling there. But it's more like the Sumitra Tour.
Can I tell you one thing that's really funny, what we did on those early days?
Oh,
and
please.
You have time?
That's exactly what I want you to do.
Okay, sometimes we would travel caravan style, like four or five cars following each other, and the first car would have three paddles. And when she put the paddle out that said food, we'd know we were going to stop and have food. And she put the paddle out that said gas, and we'd stop and get our cars filled up with gas. Well, you know what the third one was. potty stop.
Yes, but how did you put the, what did it say on the paddle? Potty stop?
No, I think it's just, I don't remember. It may have been a different color. But, you know, Shirley Spork and I did a lot of public relations, especially when Babe Zaharias died in 1956. The LPGA almost went downhill, you know. And we went to a boxing match one time. We were supposed to climb through the ropes into the ring. Onto the ring after the match. Well, I got so woozy because this one fellow was just pulverizing the other chap.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't get in the ring, but here Shirley did. She climbed through the ropes and took the microphone and asked the fans to come out and watch the LPGA play.
That's public relations and marketing.
Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes from the book, it's, "We were a mixture of war heroes, young kids, mothers, well-educated, world-class athletes determined to make a living playing golf. We did things for ourselves without management companies, a headquarters staff, or swing coaches. Amazingly, we survived without corporate logos on our clothing." You can read this and hear more of those stories from Marilyn Smith. Just get her book, Have Clubs, Will Travel. Her website is marilynsmith.com. Thanks so much for being on the show, Marilyn.
Thank you, sweetie, and God bless all of you folks in Hawaii.
And we'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green.
You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
Yes, indeed. Hawaiian Airlines, our flyaway anniversary celebration to San Francisco on Hawaiian Airlines. You know they go to New Zealand now? That's one of my bucket list things. I'm going to go to New Zealand and Australia. If I don't get further than New Zealand, that's okay, I think. But if I'm that far, I might as well go all the way down, right? All right. Guys, I know you're waiting. It's been all this girly stuff, and... And we're gonna work on your game now. We're gonna work on my game. We're gonna work on everybody's game. We're gonna work on the part of the game that you've probably not been working on for a while. Because surprisingly, Terry Kaler, the CEO and president of Score Golf, is gonna tell you that the wedges that you bought, you know, like 30 years ago, are pretty much the same wedges that they're using today. Except in his case. Because the wedge guy, and he's got a great blog. You really need to read this. The wedge guy, Terry Kaler, 21 lofts enable the perfect gapping. It's incredible what I've learned in just the past couple of days. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's nice to be in Hawaii today.
Yes, it is. It's always nice to be in Hawaii, even when we have hurricanes coming.
Exactly.
Yeah. You hear the commercials saying that they'll take strokes off of your game and give you more distance on your driver. But the really good players always tell you it's your short game that scores. And they talk about the putting game, but you got to be in position for that putt to go in, right?
Well, it's a lot easier to make 10-footers than 20-footers. Yeah. And, you know, scoring is really all about how close you get it to the hole. And the industry has been talking about distance so relentlessly over the last two decades even. And, you know, what we've done is said, you know, what about the other end of the set? We've applied so much technology and drivers and fairways and hybrids and irons. But if we look at our wedges, these wedges today look just like they did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and very much like they did 50 years ago. And, you know, we're playing our kids' drivers and our grandpa's wedges, and something's wrong with that.
Kids' drivers and grandpa's wedges. You put your wedges on the iron, Byron?
We did. We, you know, every golfer out there and your listeners will know when you hit a wedge high in the face, what happens? It doesn't go anywhere, it balloons, you come up way short. And most people chalk that up to their own mistakes. But we put two leading wedges, the two leading wedges of 2012 on Iron Byron, and watch what happens to the ball as you move impact up and down the center of the face. And what we found is that even a half an inch high miss, only a half an inch now, costs you 34 to 38 feet on a gap wedge shot. I mean, that's a big penalty for a half an inch miss. And with the line of wedges we created called 440-161, we took a totally different approach to the weighting on the back of the wedge. You can see it immediately. But we brought that 34 to 38 feet distance loss down to less than 15.
Wow. Wow. You got the Golf Digest Hot List 2012 and 2013 award. What did they say about your wedges?
Well, it's a different one. One of my favorite quotes was from last year, and they said it's a dynamic theory about short game set makeup. And we, that's what we're talking about, is the set of golf clubs that you're going to score the course with. And golf clubs have changed so much over the last 20 years, and this idea of a matched set of irons has just continued on. But we've seen the lofts of the short clubs be strengthened so much that old 52, 56, 60 is an outdated gapping. Your new P club, as I call it, not a pitching wedge, it's a P club. It may have as little as 43 or 44 degrees of loft, which gives you an 8 or maybe even a 9 degree gap between that and your old 52. And what you have to have in scoring range, and whether you're trying to break 100 or you're trying to win a PGA Tour event, you're going to beat the golf course inside 9 iron range. That's where you can take it to the course. Whether that's 120 or 160 for you, that's when you can start going on the offensive. We like to compare it to like the red zone in football. You know, everything outside the 20s is just getting into position. Once you get inside the 20, you have to score, and that's the same with golf. Once you get a 9 or less in your hand, this is the time to start scoring. And we have wedges that look like they did 40 or 50 years ago. We've got short irons and gapping that's all messed up. We got different shafts in the scoring clubs. And our whole approach is give some thought to this end of the set, and we've given more thought to this end than anybody in golf.
The man who made the wedge an interesting club, you know, because, frankly, it was kind of like something that they'd pull out, you really didn't talk about, was Phil Mickelson. He started using, how many wedges does Phil carry in his bag?
You know, I think he varies from tournament to tournament, but he carries 4 and even 5.
That's how important the wedge is to him. And obviously, he's probably not using his grandfather's wedges, right?
Yeah, he is. No, he is. He sure is.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
But wait. Terry, I got to ask you this. These guys who, you know, have equipment trailers basically designed for them, don't they have the ability to just about do anything they want with a club?
Well, theoretically, yes, but they're still working within the basic head designs that that manufacturer is offering. And if you look at the wedge designs from all of the major manufacturers, you see all the weight low in the sole and a very thin upper half of the face and the club head. And that's what causes these ballooning trajectories. I mean, I'd give you a perfect example. A few weeks ago at the Allianz Championship, Bernhard Langer is 105 yards on Saturday, light rub, ball sitting up, and he pops it in the pond in front of the green. Lanny Watkins just goes off and says, you know, hey, this is one of the best ball strikers on tour. That really wasn't his fault. That ball was sitting up. And when you catch a wedge high in the face, it's just not going to go as far as it's supposed to. And I'm sitting here in my easy chair going, I'm sorry, but that's not necessarily so. Not if you're playing a modern wedge design like we've done it. And we've changed the weighting of the wedge because we play a modern power game.
Interesting.
Today we swing harder. We have more club head speed.
That's right.
That makes the ball go high.
Yeah, we swing harder. You used to not be able to swing as hard as they do now, right?
Well, I mean, Ben Hogan's 1949 book, he said the maximum yardage for a sand wedge was 40. The modern amateur golfer that shoots 90 is trying to hit a sand wedge 85 yards. Well, you know, if Ben Hogan knew he couldn't do it, I mean, how can we do it? Because Ben Hogan's wedge looked and was weighted very much like the ones we play today. And one of my favorite props, if you will, when we're at trade shows, is I carry around a 1950 Spalding tournament model wedge and show people just how remarkably similar it is to the ones that are in their bag that were made in the last 6 months or 6 years.
This is Terry Kaler, CEO and president of Score Golf, and you can find more about Score Golf at scoregolf.com, and that's not with an E. It's scorgolf.com, but Google will probably find it for you even if you misspell it. It's scoregolf.com, and you'll be amazed. I mean, the wedge opportunities that you have here, I'm looking at the photo, it's... Do you do golf fittings for people? Do you do demo days?
We do demo days, and we created an online tool called ScoreFit, which I really urge all your listeners to go take, because what ScoreFit does is it goes into a database, it analyzes the actual loft and length of your irons, your 8-iron, your 9-iron, your pitch, and it extrapolates that with the distance. There's a little Q&A, and it spits out a prescription for what your scoring set should look like in lofts, length, shaft flex, shaft type, and everything. It's the most sophisticated look at the short end of your set that you can find out there. And ScoreFit will guide you to proper gapping and proper shaft selection, and even to the lie and length that will blend into your set specifications.
Wow. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. We're talking with Terry Kaler, scoregolf.com. You know, we were talking a little bit about bounce. Do you guys hear about, you know, when they talk about bounce on while you're watching tournament golf, you know? Now, for the average person, maybe even for most people, we're not talking about bounce, like in how much the ball bounces. Terry, I'm serious. A lot of people wouldn't know this, you know? The bounce has to do with what? The club, say that again?
It's the bottom of the golf club. In a wedge golf club, you have this feature called bounce. And very simply, if you hold the wedge up at eye level and look right down the sole, you'll see a downward angle from the leading edge to the trailing edge of the wedge. And that is what's called bounce. Now, the function of that is going to be a combination of the angle of that downward angle and the width of the sole. And but what bounce is designed to do is to get the ball to reject, to get the club to reject itself out of the turf. And particularly it was designed for bunkers. And Gene Sarazen is essentially credited with the invention of the modern sand wedge, and it was made getting out of bunkers much easier. In the Hogan, Nelson, Demerit, Snead era, these golfers figured out this sand wedge is also a pretty good little pitching tool around the greens because you could do things with it you couldn't do with the pitching wedge because of its additional loft and its bounce. So what we have kind of migrated to or evolved to is this myriad of specialized bounces, and we're told, and all of your listeners have heard this, if you have a soft lie, you want a high bounce. If you have a tight lie, you want a low bounce. But there's not one of your listeners that knows what their next lie is going to be. And so picking a specialized bounce is a very hit-or-miss thing because in a round of golf, you're going to have all kinds of lies. And, you know, some days it's soft and some days it's firm. Some parts of the course are soft and firm. What we did is we created a sole called the V-sole that has a high bounce and a low bounce in each golf club. So if it's a fluffy lie or softer, it's going to act like a high bounce. If it's on a tight lie, it's going to act like a low bounce. And one of my favorite lines from one of our customers was he asked me, how do it know?
Yeah, that's right. Wait a second, that was my question.
How do it know?
How do it know?
But it's a versatile sole design, and that's what we want in our wedges, is we want a sole that will handle anything that we come into. We get into this other thing, and companies have tried to fit bounce by categorizing you as a sweeper and a slider, a digger type swing. Well, if you're a mid-to-high handicap, your swing changes from shot to shot.
No kidding.
Some steep, some shallow. And if you're a good player, you're going to vary your swing path from shot to shot on purpose because you have the skills to do that. So what we want is a sole that never gets in the way of your skill, but always gets in the way of your lack of skill. And that's the best thing I can say about V-sole. It does that. And we have developmental tour players that just are amazed at what it allows them to do. And we've got mid-to-high handicappers that are amazed at what it does for them.
And what it does for them is what we need.
Exactly. It's about forgiveness. So we've built a club head that's forgiveness of moving impact up and down the face. We built a sole that's forgiving of the kind of turf and kind of swings. And we blend all that into a custom-fit, custom-built solution that's the most extraordinary, complete custom solution in all of golf for the scoring clubs.
Wow. We're talking with Terry Kaler, scoregolf.com. It's all about the wedges, people. It's all about the wedges. You want to get in position so you can get that putt that you can actually drop, okay? We need to take a break. Can you stay with us a couple more minutes?
Absolutely.
We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
The 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Go test drive this car at Acura Honolulu, 777 Alamoana Boulevard. I have driven the best cars in the world. I want a tight turning radius. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. I want a responsive engine. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. And a smooth, quiet ride down Ala Moana Boulevard. You'll get that. It's so good on the nerves on Honolulu's streets. But don't take my word. Test drive the 2014 Acura RLX. Call for an overnight test drive. You heard right. Call General Sales Manager TJ Jones for your appointment to visit Acura of Honolulu. Your time's valuable. Book it. Call 942-4555. Meet with TJ and the RLX expert. There is so much to Acura's RLX, where luxury meets high tech. Acura's flagship sedan. Take it home. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your life. You heard right. Acura of Honolulu will wash and vacuum your current car while you're experiencing the Acura RLX. And when you bring it back, find out when you can take your Acura RLX or RLX Advance home. The number is 808-942-4555. His name is TJ. The car is the Acura RLX. It's an amazing car, and I'm not easily amazed.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Congratulations to Alicia Garcia of Waipahu. You are our latest qualifier for our Hawaiian Airlines flyaway to San Francisco, where you will stay in the luxury collection, the Palace Hotel, San Francisco, for four nights. That's not just an overnight. This is four nights. This is going to be really fun. Okay, we're going to do it again, too. We're waiting for a call from NFL Hall of Famer Chris Dolman. He works tirelessly. Actually, he plays golf tirelessly. To raise money for many different charities. He's done charity work for March of Dimes. Right now, the Birdies for Babies. He's also got the Chris Dolman Pro Auction, harnessing the power of sports culture and using it for good. And he's in Golf to End Cancer, and that's what we'll be talking about. But I'm fascinated right now by this gentleman, Terry Kaler, scoregolf.com, scorgolf.com, because he's taken, it's kind of like the Big Bertha of drivers, only it's for wedges. And he's made it so that the wedge can almost figure out what to do. See, Terry, that seems so weird that the wedge knows what to do depending on whether it's hard pan or something soft and bouncy. And I don't mean how the shape of the wedge is. I mean the ground.
Well, the sole of the club just has a lot of versatility built in. And we went through many iterations to get this where we wanted. But you know, your comment about the Big Bertha wedges, I like to talk about the comparison of what's happened at the short end of the set to the long end. So after 30 years of trying to make cavity back three irons that everybody could hit, somebody finally figured out maybe that lower loft club shouldn't look like an iron at all. Maybe it should look different. And we squished up the fairway wood, made this thing called a hybrid. And for the first time ever, golfers of average skills can handle the 19 to 23, 24 degree golf clubs better than they could handle those clubs with iron. So forget the number of the club and think about the function of the club and a functional loft. But for the same time, we have had golfers who struggle with trajectory control and distance control in their wedges, but we keep making wedges look the same, look the same, look the same, much like we did that with long irons. So what we did is said, you know, what makes a golf club work very simply is weight distribution. And on a given loft, three clubs with three different weight distributions are going to perform differently. And club head speed makes the ball go higher. A strong player hits five irons higher than a weaker player. And the weed is that, you know, we're already got a lot of loft to get these short clubs in the air. Let's move the weight up along the back of the face. Let's redistribute it totally differently than anybody's ever done in the high loft clubs and make these things into tack driving distance control machines. And that's what we've done. And one thing we promise is if you play these golf clubs and you replace the pitch, the nine, and your wedges with an orchestrated set of scores with the right gaps and right lofts, you are going to get better. You inside nine iron range, you're going to get more consistent, you're going to get more accurate, and you're going to have forgiveness, and you're going to have tack driving accuracy, and that's where you need it the most.
You know, I like your blog. In one of them, the wedge guy, Terry Kaler's other name, Five Ways Modern Technology Has Hurt Your Scoring. And it's interesting when you read how strengthening of lofts and irons has taken away your scoring clubs. Because I had to figure out what you were talking about when we spoke the other day. You know, what do you mean? And now I understand. So I really recommend that you go to The Wedge Guy and read the blog and check out scoregolf.com and these wedges. Because I really think if you're trying to, you know, figure out what's going on, why you can't take one or two or more strokes off your game, this just may be the answer, why you're not able to improve, even though you know that you can. Terry Kaler, thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Anytime. Love to come back.
Oh, yeah. You have a good day.
Okay, you too.
Thank you. Aloha. We're going to kind of switch gears now. I told you that Chris Dolman is going to be calling in, and sure enough, he's here. Golf to End Cancer, offering fans the opportunity, what you can do, I believe it's the VIP experience for two at this Masters. We're talking about Masters a lot because it's the first major coming up, the 2013 Masters. Golf fans can buy raffle tickets online and support Golf to End Cancer's dual missions of supporting the families of those afflicted with cancer and, most important, promoting healthy lifestyle choices. Welcome to the show. It's so good to have you, Chris Dolman.
Thank you, Danielle. It's good to be here. Aloha.
Aloha.
I haven't been in Hawaii for some time. It's one of my most favorite places in the world.
Well, defensive end, Minnesota Vikings, and with the San Francisco 49ers, of course, Hawaii's, you know, big 49er fans, because you're one of the closest teams to us. We don't have our own. The class of 2012 NFL Hall of Fame, 8-time Pro Bowl selection, 150 sacks, 8 interceptions, 2 touchdowns. When did you get into golf?
Wow. I got into golf probably at the end of my rookie year. In 1985, and it has been a game that's never left me. I absolutely love it. I was listening to your last piece on the modern day clubs and the wedges.
Yes,
I have to agree with you a little bit. You know what they want to do? They want to make all this stuff a little bit stronger, so they turn them up. So you know your 9-iron's really not a 9-iron; it's playing like an 8-iron.
Yes,
and it makes it difficult dialing into those numbers, but I'm a mad passionate golf fan.
Yeah, and you do so much good with your mad passionate golf. You birdies for babies for March of Dimes, and you've got the Chris Dolman Pro Auction. I think it's harnessing the power of sports culture and using it for good. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, well, you know what. I started this company about 3 years ago, and it's basically, you know, I love golf. I looked to see how so many people were raising their money, and the model that they were using was pretty much just putting things out on a table or, you know, letting people go by and bid on them. In the meantime, people are enjoying the drinks and the atmosphere and the hors d'oeuvres. And at the end of the day, the charities never really made the impact that they would have liked to have made. So, you know, I started Chris Dolman Pro Auction and Celebrity Charitable Network, where that we can, you know, put all these charities online, open up their room. Someone who's living in Georgia, where I am, who can dial into a campaign and have hotel stay and a round of golf that's in Hawaii, that's worth getting on the plane for. And going over and you know being a part of it, and that has been my passion. That has been my my dream, and to bring golf and golf fundraising up into the 21st century.
Excellent. And that the website is it Chris Dolman Pro Auction?
That is the auction site. It's ChrisDolmanProAuction.com.
Excellent.
Our platform site is CelebrityCharitableNetwork.com.
Excellent. This golf to end cancer. No, no, I'm sorry. I'm kind. It's we just have that little, you know, that little bit of delay and can drive you crazy. Golf to End Cancer This is a raffle. The raffles are tickets are $20, or you can get 3 for $50 or 10 for $150. Now this is the grand prize: accommodations for four days and three nights, in a condo or a townhouse 2 miles from Augusta National.
Correct.
2 Masters badges for the Thursday and Friday rounds. That's cool. 3 days of hospitality at Club Magnolia, just outside the gates.
Absolutely.
5-star dining, premium open bar, beer garden, putting green, massages, a poker table, Masters gifts, transportation. Not airfare, though. Does that include airfare?
No, okay. No, that does not include airfare.
This is a prize package, $8,500. That's what it's worth. Okay, so this is fun. Now, how does this money, who gets help by this golf to end cancer?
Well, it goes to Golf to End Cancer is the recipient.
Okay.
And that was put together by A.J. Ali and Ed Warrenzak out of Chicago. And it is just an opportunity to, both of their families were affected by cancer, and they wanted to, put an end to this nasty disease that's taken so many of our loved ones away.
Mm-hmm.
And this is their way of doing it. Like I said, the proceeds go to Golf to End Cancer. It's just a wonderful opportunity for people to experience not only the Masters at the highest level, but also the ability to come in and help out a charity that desperately needs it.
Excellent.
And the cool thing about this, Danielle, no matter where you are, in the country or in the world, you can participate in this. And that's one of the beauties of doing all this online. And not to mention, you can make a great weekend of it, because we also have a Final Four campaign that's going on as well. So, we work with all different types of charities and foundations. Our goal is to make sure that we raise as much money for them as possible. We like to offer multiple platforms for them, from a raffle site to the auction site to gift card give back to giving assistance where you shop at, 1,800 different top stores in America. And you're able to have money that goes back to your charity. What else? We have Fantasy Cares.
Wow.
So, I mean, we have a number of different platforms, and we're the only ones in that space right now that is being able to offer you a number of different platforms, large and small charities, that say, we can make a go with it.
I so, like this. This is very cool.
a lot of fundraisers, we don't charge either, by the way. We don't charge at all. We're paid by our platform partners, and we share in the revenue that's generated. 70% of the money goes to the charity.
So if I were a charity and I came to you and said, I'd like to participate, I'd like to be on your platform, would I be able to do that?
Absolutely. We're open to everyone. We're open to everyone. Boys and Girls Club, we work with school districts, we work with, everyone. Because everybody has that need, and now not every customer or every customer who's participating in a campaign is going to be interested in the same thing that someone else is. We have, like I said, we have things for the Final Four, we have things for the Yankees versus the Boston Red Sox with Deion Sanders.
Fine.
I mean, so we have a number of different things that are running that you can get involved in. And you say, if you're a baseball fan, what bigger game is the Yankee versus the Red Sox? You know what I'm saying? So, and if you're a college sports fan, what's bigger than the Final Four?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's something for everyone. And we love the fact that we're able to help so many different types of charities, different types of foundations to get on board. Because, like I said, there's literally no risk to you, because everything we do is that we're paid by our platform partner. You make 70%, we make 30%, and that 30% is divided up between Celebrity Charitable Network and the platform. So, we're very comfortable with it and the ability to bring people just extraordinary opportunities to, you know, to give back and help in their community, but also have some great experiences along the way.
So they go to Celebrity Charitable Network. That is
.com.
Okay.
.com.
Now, I got to ask you, we've only got a couple more minutes, but as an 8-time Pro Bowler, we just got word that the NFL is going to hold the Pro Bowl one more time. They've given us one more year, maybe with an option to extend, I don't know. How important is it to the guys playing on the NFL to actually come play the Pro Bowl in Hawaii?
You know what, that is, it's kind of like moving the Rose Bowl to Chicago. You know, or Florida. I mean, it's just, you know, the Rose Bowl's always been in Pasadena, California. There's the parade. The people in Hawaii has been absolutely amazing. I've been there, been there a dozen times and played eight Pro Bowls. And like I tell you, it is one of my most favorite places in the world. I think the NFL is really making a mistake by pulling the game or doing something to anything to mess that game up. I was very upset, you know, to the fact that, you know, usually when they induct you into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you go to the Pro Bowl and you're introduced there. That is a very important piece of this, you know, history that you can't replace. You cannot sit up there and say, okay, we're going to start all over, and now we're going to play the Pro Bowl in Florida a week before the Super Bowl because the best players aren't playing. You know, you want to have this after the Super Bowl. You want to have it. I think you should move the Super Bowl on, if anything, because this is getting later and later and later in the year. Let the guys enjoy themselves and go to the Pro Bowl and be there and watch the Super Bowl on television and just enjoy the people of Hawaii, because it is one of our, you know, national treasures. And I just can't imagine not being able to go over there and watch the game, be a part of it. I mean, it's just a wonderful way to end your career or end your season.
End your season. Speaking of your career, you know, I'm looking at the 150 sacks and the 8 interceptions and the 2 touchdowns as a defensive end. What's the most memorable? What meant the most to you? Was there a sack or a touchdown or, you know, something that really meant the most to you, an interception?
You know, I would have to say, you know, sack, cause fumble, then pick the ball up and score a touchdown. That's the hardest play to complete. Because, you know, one, you know, you got to get to the quarterback, you got to get the ball out, then you have to have the awareness to get the ball, then you know, get to the end zone to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
That is a dominating play because you've done it all. You were the offense, you were the defense, and, you know, did everything except take the extra point.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, that is probably one play that stands out to me more than any other play. And it's something that, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be a part of that just, you know, just totally completes you as a player.
Yeah,
where that you can do that, and you go to the sideline and say, you know, what are we here for if you're doing all that?
I had a feeling, but I had to ask you just to make sure. Chris Dolman, thanks so much for being on the Golf Club. It's a pleasure talking with you.
Hey, love it. You know, if anybody who wants to get in touch with us, all they have to do is they can Google my name or go to CelebrityCharitableNetwork.com and reach out to us. We would love to help them. Like I said, our campaigns are all over the country. And what's so unique, Daniel, I don't mean to hold you so long, but what's so unique, the people in Hawaii has beautiful golf courses, and I'm sure that when they're doing their fundraisers, there's rooms that are donated, there's, you know, grounds of golf that are donated. We can create some incredible packages. The only thing you have to do is fly yourself over there. That is well worth it.
That is.
You know,
so that is. Well, you know what? We'll talk again. And this doesn't have to be the last time. You started this 3 years ago, and we'll just keep on doing it.
I like it.
Thank you. Chris Dolman.
Thank you.
Class of 2012 NFL defensive end, Minnesota Vikings, San Francisco 49ers, too. There was a team in between there. I'm sorry I left that one out. Okay. Now, we've got to wrap up the show and thank the people who make it possible, because without them, I wouldn't be on the air. Be quite frank about it. We're brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now, more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. The Acura RLS and Acura RLX Advance. It's here. Go to the First Hawaiian Auto Show or go down to 777 Ala Moana. Get inside an Acura. Test drive that car. You will love it. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes. Visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. created a beautiful venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. It's Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Do not be intimidated. Go and play. Have a great time. Just like the Western Independent Bankers are doing today, there's a 12:20 tee time if you'd like to play yourself, and twilight as well. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment. Protection for your home, for your business, for your concert, your special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection, what you need in Hawaii. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.